I want to thank everyone for being here this morning once again. Meeting together as the saints, it is a pleasure and an honor to be able to stand up here and preach from God's word once again. And I want to thank you all for the opportunity for me to help sharpen my skills and increase my knowledge. And hopefully this morning, I can help you to do the same. In finding material to bring before you, I encountered a problem trying to find something that would be pertinent to all of us as Christians in each stage of our lives. There are people here this morning who are young, who are either brand new Christians budding in their faith, or sometimes children. There are people here who have been Christians for many years and would still consider themselves babes in Christ. And there are also people here who have been Christians for many decades and have lived a life of service. And this presents a bit of an issue for me. As a younger man myself, and in my opinion, still a budding Christian, I find it difficult to find material that I would bring to you all that would be relevant and pertinent in your lives. And so this morning, I'm going to talk about a topic, and I'm hoping that it will apply to many of you. But I will say that if this does not necessarily apply to you, that I would urge you to heed the words that I say and perhaps pass it on to somebody to whom this does apply. And so this morning, I want to begin our discussion with an anecdote. Music is a huge part of my life. If you spend any sort of time with me outside of the assembly, you'll come to realize very soon that I love music. I'm always singing a song, I'm always humming a tune. It helps to get me through my work day, helps me to get through a drive, especially if there's a truck that merged over into my lane that shouldn't be there. But one song in particular that I like to sing on my free time is our hymn, "This World Is Not My Home." It goes like this: "This world is not my home, I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore." And this is a wonderful song for us Christians. It reminds us of where our home is. When times get tough and we have had it rough, it can serve to focus our minds on what we are striving for. And as Christians, we are but pilgrims in this world. That is a fact. That is true. But as we sojourn, it is important that we remember, as Christians, that we have duties regarding our spiritual growth and development. 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 11, addresses this very concept, where Peter says, "Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh which wage war against your soul." And yet, continuing into verse 12, moving on, we have also a duty towards those who are in the world, who are not us. And for clarity's sake, the usage of this word Gentile in this passage here refers to anybody in today's world who is not a New Testament baptized Christian. So Peter says, "Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation." Now notice this word here. He doesn't say if they speak against you as evildoers. He says when they speak against you as evildoers. That's very important. So keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds. Now, one area where we fulfill our duty to those in the world is in the workplace. And now you're understanding why I brought that up about this may not apply to some people here. Some people here are retired. They have not been in the workplace for quite some time. But this term workplace can be summed up by either A, the physical places of employment where we work, or B, the relationships we maintain with those with whom we work. And the Bible does have a great deal to say about those who work and how important it is in the life of a Christian. And so with this narrow focus, I want us to reread 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12, like this. Keep your conduct among your workplace honorable, so that when you are spoken against as an evildoer, they may see your good deeds and glorify God. And so a question we're also going to explore this morning is, what impact should our faith have in our lives as members of the workforce? What effect should it have on us as laborers or managers? And should the workplace become a place to evangelize the lost? Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians in chapter 4 does give some general instructions about Christians living in this world and Christians living in the workplace. Sorry, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting in verse 11 and moving into verse 12, it says, "And to aspire to live quietly and to mind your own affairs and to work with your hands as we instructed you, so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one." And so here we are instructed to lead a quiet life, to mind our own business, to work with our own hands. And that does not necessarily mean to work with your hands, like to make something or to be a physical manual laborer. That simply just means to earn a living if you are physically able and to work for yourself. And also to walk properly towards those who are outside the church. And so first, we're going to look at what the Bible has to say about the Christian as a laborer. You might find yourself under those that are superior to you. You might find yourself as a remedial laborer, like a manual laborer, so to speak. But you may find yourself working for a company. You might find yourself working for a business, a privately owned corporation. And so Paul weighs in quite a bit about this topic. And if you will, head over with me to Ephesians, where in chapter 6, beginning in verse 5, Paul does say, "Bondservants, obey your earthly masters, with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ, not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ." So it is true that the relationship mentioned here of a bondservant to a master is not the same relationship an employee would have with an employer. Back in the biblical times this was written, it was very common to have much of the society enslaved to masters. They either owed great debts of monetary value that they could not pay off themselves, so they would exchange themselves as workers for that bond, or they were owned as property. This is no longer the case, but this still does have something to say about employees and employers. Look in particular where he says, "with a sincere heart, as you would to Christ, not by the way of eye service." Paul was adamant about not putting on a show, as it were, for a boss, but rather doing work to its full completion to the best of one's ability, having integrity and working when no one else is watching. He was so adamant that he reiterates this concept again in his letter to the Colossians. So if you'll look in Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 22, it sounds very similar. "Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord." This was clearly important enough to Paul to not only tell to the Ephesians, but also the Colossians. And this appears several times throughout the New Testament. And I do urge you to look at the writings of Peter and the writings of Paul to Timothy and Titus, where he does continue to expand this concept. We are to be obedient. We are to obey those who are over us, unless we are asked to do something which is unethical or illegal, of course. We are to work with proper respect and goodwill towards our boss or our superior. And we are to labor sincerely and heartily as to the Lord and not to men, treating your boss as though he is your Lord and Savior. And you do not only work when the boss is watching. You are not just to please those who are over you. You're to demonstrate that you can be trusted with responsibility. And when you do these things, in doing these things, you adorn the doctrine of God. In being sincere, respectful, and obedient, we honor our God and glorify Him. Now, naturally, if you are to follow these principles, that will sometimes lead to you finding yourself in a position of authority. So what if you find yourself in that position of authority? What if you find yourself a manager or a boss, so to speak, in charge of others? The Bible does also have some things to say about this position of authority. And it does provide some guidelines for us as Christians and overseers and managers. So once again, we head over to Paul's writings in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, where before he continues in verse 9, he had just got done telling the bondservants how to act. He had just finished telling employees how to act, but now he turns it right around on the master, saying, "Masters, do the same to them and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven." Paul reminds us here that even though you might be in charge of somebody else and you might feel that temptation to exercise your authority unfairly, you are also responsible to a heavenly master. And you are to treat your underlings the way that God treats you. So it is clearly not just up to the laborers to have a proper work ethic, to be trustworthy, to have integrity. It is also up to those in charge. And if we find ourselves in a position of authority over others, it is imperative that we not use that position to threaten or humiliate or tear down those that work under us. It is important to love and to support. And the book of Jeremiah, chapter 22, contains an excellent example of the folly of exploiting workers for one's own gain. Starting in verse 13, "Woe to him who builds his house on unrighteousness and his upper rooms by injustice." Sorry, I lost my place here. "Who makes his neighbor serve him for nothing and does not give him his wages." So managers, or those that are of authority over others, must remember that you have a boss in heaven. And the way you treat those that work under you, he will so treat you. You treat employees with justice and fairness, and you do not oppress or exploit those who are under you. You do not resort to threatening to get what you want. Instead, you seek to positively motivate or inspire. And this will not only be a godly response and will show others who your master is, but it will encourage a good work environment. Managers who so govern and remember these principles will likely be highly esteemed in their workplace, both by those they manage and those under whom they serve, rather. And yet, as Christians, our goal is not just to provide honorable service, but to encourage people to glorify God. And this charge to bring the people of the world to the Lord leads us to also consider our role as evangelists in the workplace. And so we're moving on to discuss this aspect of our work. It is important to realize that as Christians, we are to seek and save the lost. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15 and 16 tells us to go into all the world and to proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not will be condemned. This clearly states our charge, our purpose. And so adorning the doctrine of Christ requires that we not steal or pilfer, and that includes time. Our time spent on our jobs, under someone else, on the clock, on someone else's dollar, should be spent on our work. Yes, that is true. And the majority of our evangelism should be through leading by example, as to not inadvertently steal time. The challenge here is to properly balance our efforts to save others, but also to our duty to our work. And there is power in being an example. So you might ask, well, how am I supposed to evangelize if I can't do it on the clock, so to speak? I don't want to rob my employer of their time, of their money. The power is being an example to others. In being that employee, that godly worker, that laborer that Paul talks about, in being that godly supervisor, that proper master, is how you let your light shine. Remember what Peter said, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. And you do not let your speech betray your profession as a Christian. This is how we show others who our God is. Ephesians chapter 4, 29 says, let no corrupt work proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And so, to wrap up my short sermon this morning, our involvement in the workplace is a wonderful opportunity. We have been given the ability to learn and to work by God. We have been given our strength and our minds to be put to good use for the betterment of society and the betterment of each other. And it is godly and good to work towards a common goal. It is a godly thing to be able to provide for oneself and family. And it is a godly thing to be able to serve the Lord through making a positive impact on others. So let your faith in the workplace be an opportunity to demonstrate the value of a vibrant faith in Christ, and also to reach others, to teach others of Jesus Christ. So my question this morning for you is, what kind of laborers are we? What kind of managers are we? What kind of bosses are we? Are we the kind of laborers that would gladly do anything our boss asked us to do without grumbling, without groaning? Are we making a positive example for others to look at and say, I want to be like that? How are we as managers? Are we rude and are we unsurly and are we demanding of our employees? Are we always constantly threatening and using evil tactics to get what we want? Or are we being understanding? Are we loving and are we supporting? If you're here this morning and you have not obeyed the gospel quite yet, then I would urge you to come forward this morning and to proclaim your faith in Jesus. If you have already obeyed the gospel and you find yourself in the workplace not living the life that you're supposed to, if you find yourself being distracted by the cares of the world, if you find yourself falling into the trap of being not quite the kind of worker that God wants you to be, then I would also urge you to come forward this morning as we have this opportunity now to stand and sing.